ever before. So with Jesus joy in your heart, I want you to put your hands together as I call on Mr. Aremo to share the word of God with us today.
All right, please have your seat. Thank you. God is good and all the time. How are we all doing? How are you doing? Okay. Is there anybody here that is not fine? Who said I? You are coping. The Lord is your copa. Okay. I think I was somewhere recently and I was telling them that, I can't remember where exactly, but I remember that I was saying that God did not promise us a soft life, but he promised us a possible life, you know. And that the Bible says that, for we know that all things work together for our good. Bible says that, for with God all things are possible, not all things are soft. So for with God, everything is not soft. Because even for Jesus Christ, it was not soft. Was he soft? He chopped Cano. They spat on him. You get? So it was not soft. For Paul, it was not soft. For Peter, it was not soft. For John, that seemed like he was one that died the best kind of death. Okay? Because they did not hang in, he died alone on the island of Patmos. Okay? The rest, in fact, for John, from what I've read from church history, he said there was a time when they threw him inside hot boiling oil and he came out, nothing. But he did not know that nothing would happen. Praise God. No, he did not know that he was going to come out without. The plan was, they were able to make him suya. That was going to be the plan. So I'm sure by the time they were training him, they was expecting that, okay, I have become suya for these guys. And then they threw him inside and then he escaped without any harm. So being with God is not, except you have a definition of what you call soft anyway, but God didn't promise us a soft life. But he has promised us that no matter what we go through, he will be there with us. And I think that's exciting. Abby? Yes, praise God. So I want to just shout, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus, for where I am.
Thank you, Jesus, for
where you are taking me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, I want to say thank you to Pastor Laolu. Thank you to Pastor Kenneth for the opportunity to be here today. Thank you so much. I do not take this opportunity for granted. We're going to be sharing the word together today, but I'm trusting God that will once again ignite our hearts, build a little more to the things that were shared last week, to the things that were shared during workers' meeting, and just make us who God has called us to be. Praise God. So I want to tell yourself, I will be blessed today. The word of God will bless my heart. Say it so that you can hear. You don't murmur it. I will be blessed today. Yeah. The word of God will bless my heart. Yeah. Glory to God. So let me, give me Matthew chapter 5, verse 29. Now, there's this story, I think it happened in, I'm not sure I'm correct, but say 1050 AD or something of that sort, but long time ago. How many of you have watched movies about captains and pirates and things like that? How many of you have seen? Okay, a number, awesome. So there were these two captains. One's name is O'Neill, O'Neill. The other one, we don't know his name. Now, Captain O'Neill was the one that founded, maybe not found, but was the one that he ruled Ireland, I-R-E land, I-R-E, then L-E-N-D. You know, it's the country. Yeah. So he was the one that ruled, he and his family ruled Ireland for many, many years. But how did it happen? So it was the Captain O'Neill, decided that one day he wanted to just sail across the waters, find Ireland, And then, you know, carry his guys, fight the people there, and then take over the land. Okay? So when he decided to do that, unfortunately for him, another captain also decided to do the same thing. Now, this other captain is very, very brutal. So because O'Neill didn't want some form of war between the two ships, decided to say, okay, what we'll do is this. The first person whose hand will touch the soil of Ireland, that's the person that wins, and the person can go and do whatever they want to do with the land. So the idea is we will sail like a race. We will sail, and the first person to get there and touch the sand of that land. So they started racing, pom. Started racing. Sheep night and day, Then just as we were close, the other captain's ship, just, you know, usually you watch these movies, the direction of the wind and the shape of the wind helps. So his sail just caught this gush of wind that came. So his ship just went forward. Captain O'Neill was trying to catch up. He couldn't catch up. He was behind him. The other captain was in front, close to the shore. Now, as the other captain was, he got to the shore before him. Now, as he was alighting, coming down from his ship, and, you know, going to touch the soil, Captain O'Neill felt, man, this guy is going to win me. And guess what he did? He took his hand, got a sword or something, cut the hand, and then threw it, and then he landed on the soil before that one got there. And that was how he got Highland. He got there with his people, they won, and then decided ruling the land. So the other one lost and just sailed off. Now, why did I share that story? How many of you can do that? Is there something you can cut your hand for? Eh? Matthew 5. There's nothing you can cut your hand for. Really. If I say, okay, I'm going to give you like, and I show you a check right now of, say, $100 million. All I need you to do. Okay, not your hand, just this small finger. You cannot, okay, I'll cut it for you. How about that? If it's that, it's difficult for you to cut. I can help you. I don't know if you can release this. There was a time when I heard that in Zimbabwe, they were selling their toe. Yeah. They would cut it and sell it for something dollars. I can't remember the amount. Okay, so these things, real things. But let's see what the Bible says. I'm going somewhere. So I tagged this conversation. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? Captain O'Neill wanted it bad, that he was willing to cut his wrist, his hand off. He wanted it bad. So how bad do you want it? We're going to go into the it. But let's look at this scripture, Matthew 5, verse 29. If your eyes causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you than one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Verse 30. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you than one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. If your eye look at something you're not supposed to look at, can you pluck it out? Question, can you pluck it out? No. Why not? You look again. You look away. But that means it's the opportunity to look again. Looking away means it's still there. I'm looking away, but I can still look again. But if it's out, you can't see again. If you first pluck out your right eye and then your left eye is now still looking, you pluck them out. If your right hand is doing what I'm supposed to do, you cut it off. By the time you want to cut off your left hand, you need help. Because there's nothing to hold sword anymore. This one has gone. Then you call Fisayot to help you cut off the second one. And then... But this scripture is not... Jesus wasn't specifically saying that people should cut off their hand and pluck out their eyes. Because really, sin is not a factor of your physical body. Remember when we did the analysis of the body, soul, and spirit? Your body is basically the messenger. So you find out that, I don't know if there's anybody here like that, you've gone through something like that, maybe I have a friend, that you when you do something wrong, you punish yourself by maybe cutting yourself. I don't know if you know people like that. Okay. You get a blade, cut yourself to punish yourself, eat your leg against something, eat your head against the wall. Don't dig in. You are just bleeding for bleeding's sake. That is why your mommy and daddy's skin has not changed you. It has not changed you. So you see that? So sin is not a physical experience. So your body that did it itself was just the messenger. So Jesus wasn't saying literally that you should pluck it out, because if you pluck out your right hand, your left hand can see something. If you pluck out your right eye, your left eye can see something. Praise God. But Jesus was giving us a structure here, a rule, a form of ways that we can achieve victory every time when we want something bad enough. Because it will be somebody that wants for it to be more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Somebody that wants the kingdom bad enough is kind of person that can pluck out and cut off. Praise God. You understand me of pluck off, right? You've plucked mango tree. So pluck. So when they say pluck eye, you remove your eye. That's the idea. That's why it's pluck. You remove it. And you don't pluck it, you cut it. Praise God. So, number one thing is this. So I was saying, this is a structure for, if we want something bad enough, there is a way we operate. So I can see how you are living your life, and I can discern and tell you whether you really want the things you want bad enough by how you act. I can see how you are living your life, and I can tell whether you really want the things of God bad enough. I can look at the company you keep and know whether you want the things of God bad enough. Because when you want something bad enough, you pay the price for it. Praise the Lord. And that many years ago, when we used to have Bible studies somewhere around Sabo, we had guys that we walk from, I mean, Abulegba guys are here, thank God. How many of you, Abulegba people, have had to walk from Abulegba to church? Have you ever sort of, see, yeah. The possibility has not crossed your mind. If Antosin comes and say, there's no bus to do, well, okay, let's go home. Mix LR. Okay. But then, we had guys that were coming from Abulegba inside. And guess what? They walk. They walk to Sabo and walk back at night. There were guys that were living in Pen Cinema that will walk to Bible study, and when we finish at 6:30, walk back to Pen Cinema. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Somebody's imagining walking back from Abulegba that bus stop. When you want something bad enough, something drives you. And it shows. So ask somebody, how bad do you want it? Look at somebody and say, How bad do you want God? How bad do you want the best out of life? Praise God. Now let's look at that story again. Matthew 5. Now, if your right eye causes you to sin, okay, they're specific. If your right eye causes you to sin, if your right eye causes you to sin. Now, that right eye is like the source of that sin expression. Praise God. Are we together? There's a right eye that is causing a sin. There is a source that is fueling the sin. So he's saying, pluck this out, because when you take out the source, this dies. Praise God. If your right eye causes you to sin, take it out. So when you take this out, what happens? Sin dies. Praise God. So you find out that if I can identify the source of a sin and I can take out that source, that trigger, what happens? That sin dies. It's the same way when I speak to people that are dealing with addiction, one of the questions I usually ask is, what have you identified your trigger? You know what a trigger is like? You know when, back in the days, I think they still do now, there used to be this trap for rats. Okay. Bankbe. Okay. They'll put cheese. Well, it's the one we watch in American movie that there's cheese in Nigeria. Fish. We put fish somewhere there. Now, you don't like the rat. Praise God. You don't like the rat. In fact, your intention for giving it that fish, that good thing, is to kill it. That's the intention. But you still give it a good thing. Because you know that good things attract people to death. Praise God. Good, because if it's bad, you know it's bad. And you don't want it. How many of you here, your parents has forced you to drink ugu leaf water? You didn't want it. But they have to force you to drink Fanta. You don't need to be forced to drink Fanta. Do you understand? Or when you say Agbo, come and drink Agbo. They have to force you. For some of you are younger, they will tie you like this. Yeah. But give a 2-year-old, what am I saying? A 1-year-old bottle of Fanta. So good things lead to death. And devil knows that. Because he knows that for him to draw you to death, he has to design the entrance as good. So the world people has to be good. So we put the fish in the trap, and then the rat comes. And the rat, in its innocent mind, it just wants to eat fish. And in the intelligence of the rat, actually thinks that if I pass here, this fish, this trap will not catch me. That's why there was one that they used to show on TV where it would be using the thing to be doing, be jumping around it. Okay. So the rat sees that it's a trap because that same trap killed the mother, killed the father. There is pattern that this thing always kill people in our family. Do you get? Daddy went out yesterday, didn't come back. It was this trap. So he knows. But fish, this fish can't go like this now. It will waste. But me, I'm smart. Daddy wasn't smart. That's why it happened to him like that. Okay? Daddy wasn't smart. Daddy passed here. Me, I'll pass here. So he tries to pass here. I'll just take it and run. But he finds out that the thing that killed daddy can kill him. So he picks the fish, pa, and dies. So the problem of that rat, who can tell me? What's the issue with that rat? It can't ignore. It likes fish. It cannot look away. Eh? Ignorance. Correct, all of you. But we can sum it to say, it's the love of fish that killed, not the trap. Praise God. It's the love of fish that killed it, not the... So the real trigger for that rat is not the trap. It's the fish. Because if there's no fish there to walk past, it will just keep walking. Ah, trap. Ah, I see you. Walk. So the issue is not sin. The issue is the eye. Because before they gave birth to you, there has been sin. When you live all your life and you go, there will still be sin until the Lord comes. So the issue is not you fighting sin. Praise God. The issue is your eye. That eye is your trigger. So the question is, what is your eye? What is your trigger? What is your fish? Because when the devil knows it, he will put it as the door to a trap, to death. So Jesus is now saying that before that time comes, you had better identify your fish. So that when you see fish, you walk away. Praise God. Fish is a good thing, it's a legitimate thing. But until you learn to walk away from fish, you will not be able to identify the fish that is good and the one that is bad. But with consistent walking away, you realize, you begin to know the kind of conditions that this can only be a good fish. By the reason of use, the Bible calls it. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get me? So, what is your trigger? What is the clickbait? For those of you that operate computer a lot, when you see promo, 50%, pop, you press. You send it text. You've won 50,000 naira that you not do. You click this link, you click. Send the account details, you send. You say, thank God, there's no Google money in the account anyway. Clickbait. So, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Now, and it's not just sin. For example, for some of you, you are very lazy. Praise God. And a lazy person, the Bible says slothful, cannot be useful for God. Do you know what a sloth is? Sloth is an animal. It's very slow. I used to think that, maybe I'll check, I've not really checked, but in snail and sloths, which one is the slowest? But when I watched a cartoon one time, and there was a sloth, it was more like, it's very annoyingly slow. Now, you know, I heard somewhere that some people are so lazy that even the devil can't use them. Because the devil knows that if I use this one, he will not do what I want to do because he's too lazy. Yeah. So you give excuses. If your right eye causes you to be lazy, what is causing that laziness? Because you don't want something bad enough. The reason why you might still need to be forced to read your Bible is because whatever it is you think you are getting from reading the Bible, you don't want it bad enough. The reason why you are still being forced to spend time with God is because you don't want it bad enough. The reason why you are still coming to say, I'm struggling with this addiction after several helps have been given to you is because you don't want it bad enough. Like Pastor Kede was saying that when you are preaching to somebody and the person is doing is not getting, is not taking it, is not receiving, move to the next person. At times I've had to deal with some people dealing with, I'm struggling with masturbation, I'm struggling with pornography. Okay, do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And 100% it will stop. Because you've tried it over time and it has worked. And in scripture, it works. So do this to this to this. It works. And then you don't do. 2 weeks after, you come back and say, I'm struggling. Do this. 2 weeks after, you're no longer struggling. You are enjoying the fish. You're enjoying the fish. Because it's pleasurable. Praise God. It's pleasurable. If it was harmful, if that every time you masturbate, just die. Will you masturbate again? Never. Even that's what I'm saying. Bad enough. Because you've prized your life. My life is not as important as this. So even if the urge is there, and you're even going to one corner to go and masturbate, remember, death. Okay. You change your mind. Why? You love your life bad enough. Praise God. So you see that every time we give excuses, it's because that thing is not important to us bad enough. So I want you to just search your heart now. Let God search your heart for you. What is the things God has committed to your hands that you obviously don't get it, want it bad enough? You used to say, I want to do this, but it's just mouth. I want to preach the gospel, but do you want to see souls win one bad enough? Like bad enough. If you want it bad enough, then some of your friends should actually know God, or you have spoken to some of your friends about God. How bad do you want the life of God? How bad do you want to be part of the work that God is doing in his kingdom? How bad do you want the best life that God has called you to? You know, here, there are many prophecies that have come over you guys, different things that you're supposed to step into. But how bad do you want to be a partaker of these things? How bad? As the director of the church is going now, how bad do you want to key into it and play your role there? How bad do you want it? Ask somebody, how bad do you want it? So if your eye causes you to sin, if your fish causes you to sin, what did he say? Pluck it out. No negotiation. He didn't say turn away. He didn't say bend. He didn't say plaster the eye so I can remove it after you pass away. He says pluck it out. So that means that you have to be brutal about these things. I use the word brutal deliberately. You know what brutal is? Knife. That's brutal. If you're thinking, that's not brutal. Brutal is that my life or your life? That's brutal. And you know, the thing is this. All these things, whether sin, whether laziness, whether low self-esteem, whether consistently speaking down at yourself, the devil's plan is your life. That's what he's coming for. He wants to finish you and make you useless. So that's the plan. So you have to be brutal. So like our question and like what answered, if you know that I've been preaching to blessing, yesterday I realized that some of the habits I've been preaching to her about, I exhibited it. Two things to do. I just step away. I got interceding for her. I cannot transfer her to Pastor Joshua. Say, Pastor Joshua, please, take over. Do you understand? Why? Brutal, pluck it out. Else, before I know it, some of us are not the same gang. Gang, together. When I was planning to convert her, now, me that was planning to convert, I've been converted. And you know, sometimes they say that it's easy to sin more than it's easy to love God. It's not because it's easy, but it's because the world is programmed to sin. So you don't have to do anything extra to fall in that line. That's why it looks easy. You don't have to do anything. But to be a Christian, you are
running against the norm. So that one, you have to be intentional. To be bad, you don't have to just not do anything. Anything that comes to your mind, do. That one is easy. You don't have to struggle. You don't have to bind temptation. If you are tempted, do. If you want to slap somebody, slap. You want to be angry at your mommy, be angry. You don't have to hold back. That's why it looks like it's easier. But guess what? It costs more. So, pluck it out and cast it from you. Don't just pluck it and keep it in your pocket. When I see doctor, I will ask him to put it back for me. They say, throw it away entirely. Don't keep it. So there's a friend that you know that, this friend, your lifestyle is no good, but I'm loving your lifestyle. Praise God. I don't even know what I'm talking about here. Raise your hand. Thank you. You know that this person's lifestyle could make is not it, but you like it. Somehow, but Kodano, pluck it out and cast it from you. Because guess what? You'll be converted. So you must pluck it out and cast it from you. Take it far from you. How bad do you want it? If you want something bad enough, you will pay the price. You pay the price to get it. All right, as I tie this up, let's look at Luke 19 quickly. Give me Luke 19 from verse 1. We'll just read that quickly and then I think I'll just stop there. The story of Zacchaeus. Let's read together. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Please go on. Quickly. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector and he was rich. Now, in these days, stay there, people did not like tax collectors. People did not like them. They hated them. They were rich. Okay. Go on. Verse 3. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. That is, he was a short man. So, three things. He was a rich guy. He was a guy that people did not like. And he was short. All right. So, he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. Does that look like somebody that wants it bad enough? Number one, the crowd won't have even made way for him. They say, make way. They don't make way for him because they don't like him. Two, he was short. He could have said, I've tried to see. I did not see. Let me go home. He could have done that. But he was rich. And tax collectors were proud people too. Why should I be fighting to see a man with these mere mortals or these poor pagans? But guess what? In his rich man clothing, he climbed a tree. Can you be touched to climb a tree? How many girls here can climb trees? Nobody. Oh, really? That's interesting. You guys are very, very girly. That's nice. I know one girl. One guy used to have a crush on him in primary 6. My first crush in life. That girl is a girl. You can climb trees. She's the first girl I saw that can ride bicycle. You can climb anything. Oh, Jane can. Somebody say Jane. Okay. Tatan and Jane. Pocahontas or something. No, that's a different one. Okay. Now, you don't just say, tree, can I open the branch? Branch? Next branch? Okay, Jesus, I'm here. No, there was a crowd. So the guy, Osu, he was a rich man. So he didn't even allow his advantages used as an excuse. He didn't allow his disadvantage be an excuse. So he had the two. He had advantage and he had disadvantages. Me, I was born in Ogba, I was born in Ojodu. So what? We live in one room apartment. So what? So what? Our house is not fine. So what? I go to public school. So what? I have all the money in the world. So what? I am intelligent and bright and gifted. So what? If you are not careful, those things will become fishes for you. So you must throw off all these things if you want it bad enough. Sometimes they're going to go and minister in a teens conference, and there's some people, praise is going on. Glory to Jesus. Woo! They don't want it bad enough. Because it doesn't matter to you whether you are the freshest person, the finest girl. When you are praising God, you praise Him. That's somebody that wants Him bad enough. You don't care about who's around you. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, then you see your crush. Hey. That was somebody here. I catch you. Say, I can't pray in the Holy Ghost. I don't catch me. Now I'll be thinking I'm one of those girls. No, I don't think I'm one of those girls. You don't want Him bad enough. You don't want Him bad enough. How bad do you want it? Are you ready to climb the tree? I told you one time when they were fighting in my school, when I was in public school. I told you the story now. You see two girls that normally in the day, they are all ping, 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 ping. Hey, 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 hey. When basketball starts, yeah, prah! You see girls in gown leaping walls. You know, I leap over walls. It's all, they leap walls before the guys. It's real life. How did you jump that? You. First I look like prim and proper, but when fight start, pew, pew, pew. Why? Life. We want our life bad enough. And that's the way we must value the life of God. Because guess what? You don't have a life of yourself anymore. So you must value His life in you. So everything that feeds that life, you must want it bad enough. You must want it bad enough to do the extraordinary for it. To go out of character for it. I'm not the apologizing type. You become the apologizing type because you want that life bad enough. I'm not the kind of person that just talk soft. But I always shout at people. When I shout, that's the end. You must be that kind of person because you want His life bad enough. Me, I know always forgive people when they offend me. It's not that I do my own back. You must begin to become the forgiving kind of person because you want the life bad enough. Yes, the forgiveness will pain you. It will pain you, and that's the point. Just what I just said. That is paining you. That is the point of forgiveness. The plan was not for it to be easy. If it was easy, then you didn't need to forgive anybody. The point of forgiveness is that it will pain you. That pain, you now go back to God and say, this thing is paining me. I say, yes, that's the point. But I'm your comforter. Come. Let me comfort you. Somebody will steal your thing. And you can fight them. But you say, guy, why you steal my thing? It's not your own, it's my own. Okay, it's fine. You look like the mumu, but that is the life. You don't throw blows anymore. Because that is no longer you. Because why? Not because you can't beat that person. But because you want this life bad enough. You want the life bad enough. So I ask again, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? Let's look at another person quickly. Mark 25. This is the story of the woman with the issue of blood. This woman said she had been bleeding for 12 years. How she did it, I don't know. How she survived, we don't know. But usually, even then, a woman that was bleeding that much, they usually put them out. Mark 12. 10, 10. Is it 12 or 10? Mark 25. Go to Mark 25, 34. So check Matthew. You should probably match it. I want it right there. But we know the story. She said to herself, if I can but touch the hem of his garment. Now, the plan is, I want my healing bad enough. I don't care, because she was bleeding. Usually people like that, they keep them outside, away from people. So two things could have happened. People could have been shouting at her, been shaming her. But she said, despite all this experience I have, I want my healing bad enough. I don't care about people's experiences of me. I don't care about what they talk about, say to me. I don't care about all that. I will but touch the hem of his garment. And she went all the way to touch the hem of the garment, and she got her healing. How bad do you want it? I don't want them to say I'm a spirit coco. How bad do you want it? And then thankfully, Pastor Papi has been showing us that scripture that says that if you confess me, before people, I will confess you. If you don't confess me, Jesus said, will not confess before the Father. So I don't want my friends to seem that this one just like to pray every time. Just like to preach Jesus every time. Is your name Mary? Is your medium name Mary? Are you Joseph? Me too, we go to church. Is it only you? There must be a difference if you want it bad enough or you don't want it bad enough. So you don't want it bad enough. To forget and not care about what anybody says. Because I can assure you, for your generation, it's important. But not just your generation, I think it's everybody at every level. Even our parents still care about what their friends say. Yeah. That's why if there's a child that is not doing well, they will hide the child. The one that is doing very well, they will tell their friend, have you seen my baby? This girl, she's not a doctor. She did this. They will announce you. Because they actually still care about what their friend thinks of them. Same thing for you too. You care about what your friend thinks of you. And that's good. Which means that you have friends that understand the kind of life you want to live. That want the life bad enough too. That you don't have to hide it. If there's a close friend to you, they're hiding your Christianity, or you don't want to be too, I don't want to be too, let me just be doing steady Christian. I don't want to be too spiritual discipline. No. If I become too spiritual, my friends will leave me. You need to leave those friends before they leave you. You need to resign before they sack you. And that's a trick they use in the office space. If you hear that, sack is coming, just resign. That is not spoil your record. Are we together? So there are some friends that need to leave here and go and give sack letter. You know, some of you, sometimes when you come to Jesus, he asks you to break some relationships off. He will tell you to break some relationships off. Why? Pluck off. Those relationships are like rats. The rat and fish relationship. If they are still there, you will still be in the trap. So they have to go. Like Pastor Kenneth said, would they come and say, so because you're now forming like you're now different, Abby? They will say it, but be like this woman that did not care what they said. How bad do you want it? Joseph, Genesis 39. We know the story of Joseph and Potiphar's wife. He was ready made. The woman was one that came and said, Joseph, sleep with me, guy. Nobody will know. In fact, I will speak to my husband and you become the chief servant. If Joseph had slept with Potiphar's wife, would have been boss. Because the wife would have been influencing Potiphar to do good things for him. But guess what? He would have killed the life of prime minister he was supposed to become. And guess what? He did not even know about prime minister. He had the dream, but he did not know what it meant. Some of you, the things that God has put in your hands, you don't have a clue the weight of it in the next generation. Yes. Because God didn't just put something in your hand. If God didn't put it there, He didn't just put something in your hand for now. Because it's an eternal God. Praise God. So you find out that any idea, anything that emanates from the place of prayer, it has the life of God. It's eternal. It can breathe on its own. So you are praying, and then God commits something to your heart. It's not just for you. It's beyond you. So you can't afford to now belittle that for what people say. People that in some years' time, you may never even see. People that thing that they are mocking now is what will save them later. And then you keep it because of them. And then Joshua chapter 10. Very interesting story of Joshua. They were fighting. Pian, 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 pian. Pa, 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 pa. And he was on the hill. And he noticed that, we're winning. But night was coming. If night come, these guys will escape. These enemies will escape. And he said, Lord, let the sun stand still at something. Let the moon stand still at the kingdom of Jasha or something of that sort. And then he paused the sun, he paused the moon. None of you move until we finish killing these enemies. Some of you, you need to pause your sleep. I'm mentioning you, sorry. You need to pause your sleep the way Joshua paused. How bad do you want it? He wanted to slay the enemy bad. You could have said, we've tried. Anyone will kill when the sun goes down. We've tried, we've killed enough. We'll continue tomorrow. But he knew that there was no time. Tomorrow they can be stronger. So if you don't pray today, you don't know what you'll meet tomorrow. It might be tomorrow that the snake will become a python. I'll be a monster. So kill the snake now before monster, because be ready tomorrow. You have to deal with the monster, and you don't have the power to deal with the monster yet. Praise God. How bad do you want it? So begin to pay attention to those times when God wakes up and says, pray. The devil will not wake you up at night to pray. Praise God. So it's never the will of the devil to wake you up at night to pray. So is it the will of God to pray? Yeah, man, no, sure. And then sleep off. One rule of thumb I've come to discover is this. The moment I am already debating, should I stand up or not? I know I've lost already. But the moment it comes, you stand. Yes, that is it. A desire to pray. How bad do you want this life of God? Now, it's interesting to know that God didn't leave us to ourselves. Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, say, for it is God that worketh in us both to will and to do. So your own part is just to flow. That's all you need to do. So when he wakes up, when he taps and say, pray, your own part is to rise and then start praying. Every other thing will take care of it. Where are we in the Bible now? You do like not yet. Yeah, that's one of those things my mind like to think. Your mind will not tell you to read the Bible. Your mind cannot tell you to read the Bible. Well, what will your Bible do for your mind? It's your spirit that is telling you to go and read the Bible, because it now works on your mind. Just as, so it's not just a passing thought, read the Bible. No, it was necessary. Preach to that person. This life that I am is the life of just walking away. Free that person. Walk away. But like I said, how bad do we want these things, people? How bad do we want to see souls saved? How bad do you want to see this place filled with teenagers, of which you brought many of them? And you see them loving God, giving their lives to Christ. Transformed lives. Somebody that came before used to steal, now begins to give. Not stealing anymore. Grabs the mic one day and preaches, and people are saved. It's an excitement that you feel because God is happy too. Praise God. Something God is not leaving us to ourselves. He's working in us. The Bible says that he gives grace unto the humble. The Bible says that if, Jeremiah 29 verse 13, if you will search me with all your heart, what will happen? You will find me. So he's just saying that, how bad do you really want me? Please give me that scripture, Jeremiah 29 verse 13. I'll wrap it up there. How bad do you want me? Because if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Oh, I've wanted to be able to heal people all these days. And how bad do you really want to heal people? I've been trusting God to heal, to open my eyes to see and see how bad do you really want to see? I've been trusting God to give me an idea that I can do and say, how bad do you really want that? Some of these things are just wishes in our hearts. We don't want them bad enough. Then something bad happens. I say, now I remembered your wish. Anything that is when a bad thing happens that triggers your need for it again, you don't want it bad enough. You don't want it bad enough. If it's the fear of poverty that wants to make you want money, then you've not really understood. You don't want it bad enough. Jeremiah 29. So how bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? If you seek me with all your heart, you would find me. Please bow your heads. Let's pray. Bow your heads. And I don't just talk to God. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So I don't just talk to God. And I want you to talk to him about the things that are like rat fish for you. The things like the eye that you need to pluck out. If it's sleep, tell him now, Lord, I know that this sleep thing, I've been hearing it throughout this week. Okay, Lord, help me this week. I want to pray from 10 to 11. Help me. I have accepted that I like sleep. But help me. Okay, what has been coming to my mind so far is to fast. And me, I like food, Lord. I am saying the truth. I like food. Please help me deal with this desire for food. So at least I can fast tomorrow and next tomorrow. Ask God to search you through and through. That he should give you this renewed zest, renewed energy, renewed fervor in your heart, renewed passion for him, that you want these things bad. We want to see you so saved, bad, that we go the length for it. That we go ahead to make sacrifices for them because we want it bad enough. We want to see newness in our church. We want to see things. Lord, I want it bad enough. Help me play my part. Help me pray. Help me study. Help me speak to someone. Help me spend time in prayer knowing your will for me in the department you are putting me in so I can contribute my quota because I want to see your work done here bad enough. I want to see my family members give their life to you bad enough. I want to see my brother give his life to you bad enough. Lord, it has been a wish in my heart. Now, Lord, I am asking that you take it over and help me begin to pray and speak to him. I want to see my sister give her life to you. I now want it bad. I no more. It's no longer an option. Now, is that I get it or I get it? So, Lord, help me. Help me. I repent for the times I have lied. I lied that I said I really wanted it. I have lied. It was only a wish. But now I am saying, help me want it bad enough. Help me desire it bad enough. Let it go from a desire to a passion burning in my heart. My bobo shatabalabalabadash. My bradazo kekelekedekedesh. Mali branabazute belekedesh. Mazoko pokotokodosh. If you don't give your life to Christ, now might be a good time to do that. If you don't give your life to Christ, now might be a good time to do that. God wants you bad enough that He died for you on the cross. That's how much, how bad He wanted it. He wants you to be saved bad enough. He went on the cross and died for you. That's how much He wanted it. He laid down His life. Why? By the time He did the calculation, your life was worth His dying for. So if you need to give your life to Christ now, just raise your hand. I want it bad enough. Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. Keep praying, keep praying. Keep praying. If you want to give your life to Christ, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand and we'll pray with you and that's going to be it. Lebashata balabalabadash. Pray, 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 pray. Let your prayer be specific. Be specific. Be specific. Be specific. As you are praying the Holy Ghost, be specific. Lord, now I want it bad enough. I want to live beyond this area. This life I see. I want something bigger. Because I know that what you want for me. And now I want it bad enough. I want to see good results in my academics bad enough. I'll begin to put in the necessary work now. Bad enough. My physics will get better. My chemistry will get better. My math will get better. Because now I want it bad enough. It is no longer a wish. No longer an option. I want it bad enough. Yemando shatabalabash.
Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. Make sure you are talking to God. Let's make sure you are talking to God. Just make sure you are talking to Jesus. That the hand of God will come upon us afresh. That there will be new desires. New desires will arise in our hearts. New desires will arise in our hearts. New desires stronger than ever before. Stronger than ever before. Desires that are powered by the Holy Ghost. Desires that are powered by the Holy Ghost. Desires that are powered by the Lord. Powered by the Holy Ghost. Strong enough. Strong enough to break habits. Strong enough to make a decision and stay by it. Strong enough to wake up at midnight to pray in the Holy Ghost. Strong enough to study the scripture for hours. Strong enough to break the backbone of laziness. Oh, Jesus, that you will help us. That your power will come upon us afresh today. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Venda rondo da 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 bosh. Thank you, Jesus. Venda rondo da da bosh. Irogogodobodobosh. Fresh fire, Lord. Fresh desires, Lord. Fresh desires, Lord. Fresh passion, Lord. Passion for the things of God. Passion for the things of God. Passion for the things of God. Passion for the things you've committed to our hands. Passion to know you more. Passion to understand you more. Passion to preach the gospel. Passion, Lord. Passion, Lord. Baptize us with fresh passion, Lord. Passion for the things of God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen. And Lord Father, we thank you for another opportunity that you've given unto us. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you because you said it in your word that your word are quicker and it is alive. Your word pierces into our bone and marrow. Thank you because the word that we've listened to today, this word will germinate and this word will bear fruit. Thank you for the grace that you've given unto us to practice this word. Thank you because we will practice this word. And thank you because this word will not only bless us. We won't only be moved by emotions. But then this word would do what you want it to do in our lives. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, we receive the grace to respond to this word. We receive the strength to respond to this word. No longer would we be a casual person. We'll be strong in the Lord. Amen. We'll be strong in the Lord. Amen. We'll be strong in the Lord. Amen. That your desire for us shall come to pass. Amen. That from today henceforth, we'll partner with the Lord and we'll partner with the Holy Ghost to do that which he wants to do in the name of Jesus. Thank you because you have answered our prayers. For it in Jesus' name we're prayed. Amen. 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 Thank you. Please, can we say thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus.
No, we're not screaming into the house. Can we say thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, that was wonderful, right? Can we put our hands together for Pastor Ari?